What's going on? This is your boy, Jay Will, your host of the Jay Will Podcast. Listen, this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used as a legal health or tax advice of any kind. We are not responsible, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you this again, so you know some of y'all like to sue people. Yeah. We are not responsible for any liabilities, losses, or damages that may arise from the use of this podcast. You can find the Jay Will Podcast homepage on rss.com, and you can donate or support the Jay Will Podcast via the donate feature on the podcast platform, or you can do it at $ Jay Will Podcast. Follow my music page on Facebook, Jay Will, James Williams Music, it is. And if you're in need of a radio station to listen to, you can listen to Jay Will Gospel Radio. Let me tell you how you get to it. It's free. It's free. People like free stuff. I'm going to tell you it's free. You can go to your Play Store on your phone and download the Live365.com app and then type in Jay Will Gospel Radio. We got 24/7 gospel music 7 days a week. We got your gospel hip hop. We got your urban gospel. We got your gospel choir. We got your quartet. And we got your male and female solo artists. We got male groups, female groups. You want to hear it? We got it. And I got a couple of shows that are on there. 7 o'clock a.m. and 8 o'clock a.m. I have the Unsigned Artist Gospel Show, or either the Jay Will Gospel Show, Monday through Friday. Got a couple of different shows on there. But go ahead and check out that radio station, Jay Will Gospel Radio. And also check out my Facebook. It's my music page, James Williams Music. All right, ladies and gentlemen, homies and homettes, boys and girls, cats and kittens. I have the singing sensation on the phone. In a virtual studio with me right now. I hope I pronounce her name right, but it is none other than the psalmist, Miss Debbie Shanae. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing on today?
You know what? I am blessed in the Lord. Glad to have you on. You know, it's just good to see your brilliant smile. You're just happy. The sun is shining behind you. God has been good.
Absolutely.
God has been so good. God has been so good. So let me ask you, where are you from?
I'm from Oklahoma City. Grew up in Midwest City, Oklahoma. So that's probably, you know, you're driving in Oklahoma City and you cross the railroad tracks and you're in Midwest City, Oklahoma. So I grew up in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Wow. So you're an OKC fan?
Oh, absolutely. Oklahoma City Thunder fan?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? I live in Ohio, and we just got the Cleveland Cavaliers. I like Cleveland Cavaliers, but, you know, my city don't have, you know, no basketball team. We got a baseball team, though, Cincinnati Reds.
Okay.
Yeah, the big red machine. Let's go, Reds. You know what I'm saying? So let me ask a question. How did you get in music?
So how I got into, I was born into music, if I'm going to be honest. My grandfather, he was a jazz musician. He also played gospel music in our local churches. He wrote music. People like Count Basie and other jazz musicians, they played with him. He played down in Deep Deuce in Oklahoma City. And then my mother, she's an organist, a pianist. She teaches piano lessons, so she's done that all my life. Even my Aunt Ellen, her sister, she is a gospel and jazz organist, musician. She lived in Los Angeles, California, predominantly all my life, but she's from here as well. My grandmother, she was a singer in the church. She probably died when my mom was 5. She was 5, died singing.
So wow.
She was actually singing with her friends, and she passed away from a brain aneurysm. But I could tell you that I grew up in church with a musical family. So I was born into this.
So I know you were born into it, but not all the time, you know, that people are born into it are really interested in it. When did you know you were interested in actually singing?
I didn't know that I was actually interested in singing until I was about 16 years old. You know, I was forced to be in the kids choir. I was forced to be at church, and I was like, ugh. And I was always scared to sing when my mom would put me up front. So I would get scared. I was like, I didn't even know I could sing really until I was in the talent show at school. And when I was in the talent show, I was like, oh, okay, I'm actually good. So I really didn't know that I was interested in singing until I was about 16, singing in the Midwest City Gospel Choir and local gospel choirs in college. So that's when I really knew that, okay, this is a thing for me to do. So that around 16.
Yeah. So before that, now they made you sing. You know, you got to sing in the kiddie choir. You got to sing in the young adult choir. You didn't tell me that your folks was Joe Jackson. You didn't tell me that. You're like, you know, you're going to sing today.
Hey. My mama didn't play. She said, y'all not going to get up there sounding like little cotton balls while you're singing. And when I was taking piano lessons, my auntie, those were music teachers that would hit your hands and tell you you didn't practice. You go home till you practice. So, yes, it was Joe Jackson.
Yeah, hey, look, I know what you're saying, because my mom was a pianist, and she was the minister of music for our church. And when she found out I can play, she went into early retirement and said, this is the song that we're doing for rehearsals next week. And I had two choices, either learn it or get beat.
You was going to learn it.
Hey, I ain't had no choice.
Absolutely.
I tried to get out of it, but she was like, you're going to learn this or you're going to get beat. And she would wait. This is not about me, it's about you. But let me tell you, funny church stories, you know what I'm saying? So my mama sometimes would wait until we got the rehearsal. And I would say, I don't know it, mama. And she would pop me right there on the organ, like in front of everybody. I'm like, so I learned real quick, learn the song.
Right. You better learn it while she's playing it in the house or in the car. You better learn it.
Hey, who you telling? So are you still play?
I don't play. So the only playing that I do is when I'm writing and I want to put a melody together to give to my mama or give to whoever's going to produce my music. I do it, but that's not what I do. I just sing and write.
So, you know, this is your first release? Is this your first CD release?
Well, I wrote songs for a group that I sang in for 8 years.
So what was that group?
It's Montre Tisdale and the Friends Chorale, and we're back in the city as well. So I did write a song called You Are on that album, and I'm actually leading that song as well. What? So it was my first independent, standalone song that basically I feel like God like took me and kicked me off of a mountain and said, it's your time to do it. Because the nation needs to hear it because of the state that we're in. So this was my first actual solo without anybody else coming in to orchestrate that. So, yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you didn't know, the name of this project is Never Alone.
Yes.
And let me tell you, the song is just straight fire. Okay. I mean, that's the only way, you know, I'm trying to be young, you know what I'm saying? That's what the young people say. This is fire. You know, when I was growing up, we say, man, this song is legit. You know?
But that's,
or you know, this song is cracking. But it's today that you I grew up in southern Mississippi. So we had all kinds of crazy saying down there. But now the young people in the city say this song is fire, son.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you wrote this song. Tell the people, how can they find this song?
So I'm on all digital outlets. I'm on YouTube, Spotify. If you want to post something and get it off Facebook, Instagram, you can look my name up, Debbie Shanae. It's on there. It's on all digital outlets. It's on whatever outlet you can think of. It's on there. So you can look it up, Never Alone, Debbie Shanae, and you'll find it there.
So while we're in that scope, if the people wanted to contact you to either write them a song or help them with a song, you have an email address you can shoot them?
Yes. So it's Debbie Barnett, DebbieBarnett, 21@gmail.com. So you can email me there. You can even hit me up on Facebook or even Instagram, and I'm always quick to respond. So
yeah. I'm taking some notes here because, you know, I might need you to write something for me.
I got you. I got a lot of music.
Yeah, I bet. So y'all heard that. Debbie Barnett, 21.
@gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Debbie Barnett, 21@gmail.com for your musical needs, for your consulting needs, contact Miss Debbie. All right, that was your infomercial. So I got a couple of questions I want to ask you about this song. So you wrote this song?
Yes, sir, I wrote this song.
So a couple of the lyrics just like really stand out to me. And I guess I'm really fond of this song because it's scripturally sound.
Oh, yes.
It's scripturally sound. Now, you know I ain't joking around. You know I listen to the song, right? Yes. So it's scripturally sound. It says, tried in the fire. Man, I'm getting goosebumps. Tried in the fire. Come out as pure gold.
Yes.
Now, I don't even have to ask you where you got that line from. But tell me, what were you going through? What was going on in your life when God dropped this song in your spirit? Because you had songwriters go through some stuff, right? Some issues.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the issues that we go through are not something that we're actually going through, but we're feeling what other people are going through.
Yes.
And don't get me started. So, but tried in the fire, okay? Come out as pure gold. Tell me, what were you going through when God dropped this in your spirit?
So I was just really driving when I started writing it. So around this time, I wrote this song maybe a year and a half ago. Let's say about a year and a half ago. So I was just driving, but the backstory, it seems like, you know, when you're on track working for the Lord, so many things come your way. I was at a church and I felt like the enemy was just after me because I had never dealt with what they call warfare, not on this level. So when it started coming, I mean, it was coming from the leaders on down. Like, it just was not stopping. You do what they say, and that still wasn't enough. You do what they say, and it still wasn't right. And I was like, God, I know you sent me here. Then the leader just died out of nowhere. I mean, at the age of 30, well, 29, heading to 30. And so everything that came against me and the people that were under me, the people that were under him, you know, it felt like, how can a person be tested this way? God, I know you sent me. So that was the beginning of being tried in the fire. Then I go from here to there. It just seems like, you know, when this thing ends, another thing came. It did not come clear and apparent to me that I was really in a fire until this year, February. Well, let's go back. Maybe around this time last year. That's when it started, but it just wasn't clicking until the beginning of this year. Because God was dealing with me. He was saying, you got to let some people go. You have to let some things go, some habits. You know, we have habits sometimes that we've had from childhood on up. There's things that's in us. And so this was a season of, this is the scripture that I love. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, or the fat of the land, or the best of the land. And so I was on this journey of just, God, I'm willing, but I also want to be obedient. So he started showing me clear, vivid on the things that I needed to let go, the people I need to let go. And it's not always easy when you're being tried to let go, especially people that's been with you for years. So that process started for me. And I wasn't necessarily obedient because, you know, you hang on to them. God give you a timeline. You hang on to them praying that they'll just fall off. It didn't happen that way for me. So warfare just kept hitting me. I mean, God was sending prophets my way. I mean, it was a prophet from Atlanta. It's a prophet from over here, didn't know me. A prophet from Lawton, Oklahoma. I mean, just kept hitting it, confirming everything that God had already been showing me. And he had already been showing me for years prior to now.
Man.
So it did not come apparent to me that it was me that was actually dealing with this song, because I was coming out with a whole nother song. But this was the song that God said, it's this song. So I'm in the studio and I'm singing it. And when I tell you, it's just like the Holy Spirit just took over me. And God started showing me everything that he was preparing me for, because he was pruning me around that time. I mean, he had me around some powerful women of women of God that were charging me, that were, you know, laying hands on me, impacting. I know T. Renee Glenn laid hands on me. Bishop Aretha Wilson laid hands on me. Mother May Dupree laid hands on me. I mean, charging every year. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But, you know, I didn't know what was coming my way until it came. But I was trodden in the fire. And when we're trodden in the fire, all we can think about is, I'm in this fire. I'm hurt. I'm feeling abused. I'm feeling misused. God, where are you? I had to even ask God, God, do you even love me? You sent me here. Those, I had to ask them. And then and the Holy Spirit reminded me, you was never alone. While you were trodden in the fire, I came out of the fire. What is it? Trodden in the fire, came out of the fire. Then I had to thank God for the fire, because after I came out of the fire, I said, oh, God, you detached me from things that I couldn't even see, people that I couldn't see, that scandal was going to come, all type of things were going to come. And God knew what he wanted me to do here in the earth to fulfill for his the upbuilding of his kingdom. So I started thanking God for him, because I hear a lot of people say, I didn't ask God for this. I didn't ask God for this calling. I never say that. Let me tell you, to think about my life, everything I've done, everything I've gone through, and I know Jesus died and we're saved by grace, you know, and he died on the cross to abolish all those things. But, you know, if you have a heart and you're a believer, you're still going to feel it.
Right.
And so I had to thank him, because when I look back over my life, I looked back over my life and I said, God, it was only you. And I have to thank you for it, because I now see with spiritual eyes what you're trying to do. And I never take credit. I don't even take credit for this song. The Holy Spirit, this is one key thing that I had to go with. The Holy Spirit said to me, what I'm going to do for you, I'm going to elevate you. Because people used to laugh at me. This role was not easy. They would laugh. You're Baptist. You're churchy. You're this. You're that. I would get in my car and cry. They would intentionally leave me out. And these are people that everybody used. So one day I got in my car and I was crying. I said, Lord, you said you were going to use me. And so the Holy Spirit said, if you give me a yes, and this yes was, when you give me a yes, you give it all back to me. You give it all back to me. And this is before I even started putting songs out. And I said, okay. Okay, so he started sending other prophets to me to reveal and to impart and speak into my life to confirm some things. So when I tell you, it was all in being thankful, thanking God for the fire and knowing even when I was in it, he had a perfect plan for it. And when I was writing it, because never alone is in not in that scripture. And I said, wow, I went through all this, but I wasn't alone in it.
Right.
And so alone came from. And when I tell you, I am honored. I look back on my life. I never say, why? No, God, I thank you that you love me enough. You love me enough to use me, to preach your gospel, to sing praises unto you, to reach the lost, reach people. Because one thing, we're on a unity journey here. I had a concert and I told them, you all thought we were here to bring out Never Alone. Okay, we came for that. I said, but we're really here to unite this city. The body of Christ, the believers, you can talk about being on platforms, all of these award shows, but if you left Christ out of it, being the center of it, then we're lost. We have now forgotten what our main goal, agenda, the main person is. And so all of this is about unifying the body of Christ, because something is missing. And we can feel it. You have more believers that's depressed. You have more believers committing suicide. Minstrels, psalmists, preachers, the fivefold. That's really not believers. So it's time for the believers to believe it. So the Holy Spirit showed me, we're going to unify this city. And when we learn to unify this city, we're going to impact other cities. It's going to be a chain reaction so that we can build up the kingdom of God the right way, the way he designed and the way he called us to do it. So this is kind of where Never Alone comes from. So
yeah, I know you saw me looking down. I was looking at the scripture.
Okay.
First Peter chapter 1, verse number 7.
Yeah.
It says, I had to read this, because I mean, it just goes along. It says, ladies and gentlemen, you know, First Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's just so rich what he's trying to tell us here.
Yeah.
You got the fire, and there's other scriptures to support this.
Yeah, there is.
You know, but this is just one, you know, your faith, the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith being much more precious than gold. But now the song is a lot more theologically, you know, forecastic, if you will, because tried in the fire, your faith being tried in the fire is much more precious than gold. And I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, how they extract gold from dirt.
Yes.
It's put under extreme heat. It's a lot of pressure involved. It's a lot of scrubbing. It's a lot of getting away of particles that have no business entangled with the gold. All right, so we ain't gonna start nothing, but I'm just saying, sometimes that doing the hurt and doing the pain. I mean, as you were sharing your testimony about, you know, the promises God made you, but then you find yourself sitting alone crying because people would intentionally leave you out of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's my whole life story.
Jesus,
that's my whole life story. People would ask other people to do stuff that were less capable.
Come on.
Less talented, with no anointing.
No anointing.
Couldn't destroy a yolk and an egg if they hit it with a knife.
Come on.
But they would bypass me. I want to encourage you here just a minute. I try not to go this route, you know, because, you know, let me pull out my theological hat, you know what I'm saying? But I want to encourage you, because it was by design that God allowed you to go through this stuff because if others had given it to you, if others had put you where God has placed you now, then you be thanking them and not him. You be thanking. So everything that I've accomplished now, everything that God has allowed me to do, I'm thanking God for it, because how can I say this and be, you know, theologically correct? Negroes or white grows,
right.
did not put me here.
Nope.
It was God.
Yes.
And so the song just kind of ministered to me. And I'm sitting in here, you know, and I'm, you know, kind of snotting a little bit. It's like, I can't let her do this to me. It's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
But the road to you getting to this song, you had to experience some stuff.
Absolutely.
I do want to say for the record, that I don't like prophets.
I'm a prophet.
I don't like prophets. I don't like y'all, because y'all be messing with people. Y'all be messing with people, man. I don't like prophets. Let me tell you, man. It's not that I don't really like y'all. Y'all just be telling folks stuff, man. Y'all just leave me alone. You know. You know exactly what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Now, there's them jacklegs that'll walk in, and you'd be like, yeah, right, this dude finna say some fluff.
Right.
But then that,
I'm too.
Yeah, it's fluff. I'm tired of fluff.
Me too.
But when the real ones walk in, you'd be like, uh-oh, time to go.
Them demons, when I tell you, demons flee, you know, when the real prophets... Because I never walked around and said I was a prophet. I believe that when you're called prophets, no prophets. So when I walk in a room, when I walk in a room, all they need to do is have one talk to me one time. And the last church, the church before now, where my apostle passed away, he was like, she's a prophet of this house. The church I'm at now, my bishop, she's a prophet of this house. Everywhere I go, it was an apostle out of Lawton. I had never seen him. When I tell you I hadn't seen him a day in my life, me and Montre Tisdale, we had went to a service. We didn't know anybody there but one person that we knew from Dallas who asked us just to come. So we went in. I was like, Trey, I don't know anybody in here. And this is our city. He was like, me neither. When they got to prophesying, because I have a thing. Do not prophesy to me over that microphone and you don't know me. Don't do it. If you got a word, you already know to come to me and whatever you have to say. And don't touch me. Don't touch me. And if you touch me, you're going to know, I'm going to know, and you're going to know that God gave you permission. You have to ask people to touch them. So a lady came down. She started, she said, they are talking about you in this city bad, but they're going to know your name. She didn't say it over the mic. She started telling me everything I was going through in my ear. So then their head leader, he had a lot, never seen him. He comes down, he prophesies to Montre. Then he comes to me. He said, this is your intercessor. People are going to come and try to destroy y'all and break you up. He said, don't let it happen. And when I tell you, we was tried a week and a half later. Wow. Okay. So then he comes back. He said, she is a prophet of God. She's going to raise up a nation of prophets. And we were both like crying. This man does not know me. I hadn't said a word. I wasn't dressed like them. I didn't look like them. I had on red hot top sneakers and sweats and a t-shirt. And I just came like that. And he prophesied to me. The next time he saw me, then Prophet Wendy Wyatt, I don't know if you know her. She lives in Atlanta, but I believe she's from, you should look her up. She's amazing. So she was here. We went to a service. I was really going through. She's on the stage. She does not know me. I hadn't sang anything. And she started saying, this is someone in the room that's going to need an interpreter. They're going to be across the seas. They're going to need an interpreter. I'm just worshiping, not thinking anything. I open my eyes. People looking at me. I'm like, what? You know? And I had people that do not like me in the room. Never done anything to them, but do not like me. They were in the room. So she started talking. I'm not thinking she's talking to me, because all of the other things that's in the room. I opened my eyes. She said, I'm talking to you. She said, don't let them kill you. Don't let them destroy you. She said, don't listen to nothing. They say, God called you. She came off the stage. And when I tell you, she mothered me, she hugged me, she prophesied in my ear. She told me, and I knew it was only from God, because I hadn't shared it with anyone. So then I'm breaking away from saying shy, because my bishop preaches on that. He said, it ain't a God to be calling yourself these names. So I like order, though. Like, I don't like walking into the front of the church, making a distraction.
Right.
That go say bye to her. So I went and I hugged her. So she whispered in my ear, she said, I want you to always keep your eyes on God. She said, you're that one. She said, and I want you to run and never look back. And I was like, and I knew exactly what she was talking about. When I tell you, everything hit me, and I still wasn't really listening, because I was getting warnings. When I didn't break away, I was getting warnings. The Holy Spirit was saying, your time is up. Your time is up here. December hit, a prophet came. He prophesied to me. He said, you got to 11:59, the minute before New Year. I still wasn't obedient. And then when I tell you, when you're not obedient, February 3rd, it hit. And it hit because it was supposed to hit. If it didn't hit that way, I would have continued to go back because of my heart. I have a loving heart. I love to forgive. I love to do these things. But God had to do something in me. So when it was time for this song to release, I could understand everything within this song. And I can understand that it's not always personal. You know, the enemy doesn't want to fulfill what God has for me. But for the people, that was just a spirit that was trying to, you know, keep me from, wanting me to abort what God had put in me to do. Sure. So.
You know, I'm not going to look up that prophet lady you told me to look up, because I don't like prophets.
She's a psalmist too. Look her up.
Look, let me tell you something. The way stuff works for me is the for real prophets and prophetess, when you don't want to hook up with them, and you just contact them one time,
yes,
And then they read your whole book. And then now you like trap being, you know, being friends with the prophet.
That's a good.
I don't know, man. I like to stick to myself. But you know, I say that jokingly, but I agree with you, because sometimes the enemy will set you up.
Yes.
So that when these people that are, some of these people, these jagleg folks that are laying hands on you, are really trying to pull pieces of anointing off of you.
Oof, my God.
Let me tell you. So, and the only reason I know this is because I was somewhere in America, and we'll use it like that. I was somewhere in America, and I'm just sitting in the cut. I'm just chilling, and okay, this jagleg was up preaching, and he just comes over. And he just lays hands on me real quick. Like I wasn't going up to that prayer line because I wasn't feeling it. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't feeling it. But he just comes over and he lays hands on me. When he laid hands on me, I felt something crawl down the back of my neck.
Ooh.
The next day, I was sick. The next day I got sick. And like really, really sick. And the Lord says, I was a manager at the time. The Lord says, leave and go to the church. I left my desk, went to the church, drank some blessed oil, and gurgitated in the toilet, and I felt immediately better.
Jesus.
And the Lord spoke to me and says, don't ever let that person touch you again. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I am so leery when I go to these churches, when I'm sitting in the cut, or even if I'm on the organ and people start prophesying and stuff. Like, dude, I got this look. Like, don't come over here by me, bro. You're going to get your finger broke.
Oh, yeah, because you'll know who. There was a witch, okay? I called this lady out as a witch, okay? So I was at a particular church. Every week when I would leave church by Monday, I'm sick. Not just a normal sick. Like, I can't get out of bed for a few days. And I didn't know what it was. So I had a mutual friend. My mutual friend said, I was taking something from this person. I said, stop taking that from that person. I said, because this person, one of my friends, was getting sick as well. I mean, just random stuff. I said, stop taking stuff from that person. That person gives me witchy vibes. And so later on, I had found out this person had been kind of like stalking me a little bit for a year, my Facebook page and everything like that. Immediately when I found out about this person, because I didn't notice the person, that was the thing. I mean, the person would sit behind me and read my messages in my phone, like things.
Oh,
like,
man.
Right. And so you name it, looking on my Facebook page, knew where I was, knew who was doing this for me, knew who was doing that for me. And so immediately when I found out with the connection with this person and my friend, I was no longer sick. So after that, this person, like when I tell you, went into a rage, like trying to cover it up, but a rage, like maybe like a competition rage, because this person compared themselves to me. I'm a prophet just like you. I'm like, most prophets don't go and tell anybody they're a prophet. You're going to know they're a prophet when they walk in the room. When I walk in a room, you know that I walked in the room. And then most people try to call me cocky and conceited, all of these things. I'm like, I'm far from that. I never heard anybody call me that. I'm like, people don't know what it took for a person to have confidence. You know, I'm a twin of a boy. I have six brothers.
You're a twin?
When?
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is some crazy stuff. You're starting to freak me out right about now.
I'm a twin.
My kids are twins. A male and a female.
Yep.
I have a daughter and a son that are twins.
How old are they?
34.
Okay. We're 42. We'll be 43.
That is crazy stuff, man.
Yes,
so. That's great stuff, man. See, that's why I don't like you prophets, man. That's why I don't like y'all, because there's a reason. I don't know what the reason is, but, you know, we're supposed to be talking about music, but God wanted us to talk about what we're talking about right now.
Absolutely.
God used Ontario to set this interview up because God knew that we needed to talk.
Yes.
And God knew that there was somebody that for real deals in a spiritually supernatural sense that I need to know.
Yes.
I just believe that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, but I still don't like y'all prophets, man. Y'all are true.
Well, okay, so this is the thing. I'm not the prophet that you see. God called me as a warning prophet. I send warning. I've had dreams all my life, things like that. I grew up Baptist, didn't know what to call it. They didn't really talk about that. I remember a dream so vivid a few years ago. In this dream, I was at like a water park. And at the water park, I was in a wave pool. Well, the Holy Spirit said, get up and run. So when I ran through a glass window. So when I ran through the glass, it didn't shatter. I just kind of morphed through it like a dimension. Well, we had got warning to evacuate. When we turned around, it was the glass. We could see back through the glass window, the wave pool, it started flooding. Now, we know God said I wasn't going to come back and flood the earth, but we have had floods lately here in Oklahoma. Yeah. So we're watching people die. And it took me back to high school, like our common area where we used to sit. That's what it gave a library feel, kind of. And we're turned around looking back at this glass. And I woke up and the Holy Spirit was saying, repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And sometimes when I'm asleep, I wake up, I either wake up speaking in tongues or reciting whatever God is saying to me in that dream. Let's go back here. When my apostle died, maybe a few months before he died, not a few, almost a year before he died, the Holy Spirit had come to me and said, you need to tell him he needs to get alone. I need to get to him. He didn't give me specifics. He just said, say that. I went to him. I said, the Holy Spirit told me, you need to abandon the people around you, get alone, because I have something I'm dealing with you with. And it resonated with them. I also told them I was at the park walking. I looked up in the sky. God deals with me with clouds. I looked up in the sky and I saw a specific person in the form of a dragon in the clouds. So I said, Debbie, stop judging. Because that's one of the things they say, oh, you judge. But when I tell you, it ends up coming true. So I'm walking. I looked down at the grass. It was some withered up branches in the form of a dragon. And I saw that same person's face. I said, if I look back up at these clouds and that dragon is up there in that face, I said, oh, Lord. So I looked back up at the clouds and I saw it. And I said, oh, man, I have to tell this man that he now had to be watchful of this person. So I went to him. So we identified it as a Leviathan spirit. And so he was like, okay. 3 months passed. I said, hey, I noticed that you have gathered more people around you. It was like a safety net. He was having people at his house everywhere. I said, you remember when I told you the Holy Spirit said for me to come in and tell you that you need to get along? He's trying to get your attention about something. He was like, oh, yeah, I heard you. Then more mess kept starting, you know. January come, February come, around March, he had fell sick in a service. And so we get back to Oklahoma City. And when I tell you he got sick, he didn't come out the hospital. A mother of the church had also warned him. She said, I see death on you in January. We didn't know he was dying. Okay. He didn't die in July. So we didn't know. And so he died. They didn't bury him for 2 weeks. So the week of the funeral, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me tough, like strong. I could literally read people's minds, it felt like. When they didn't want me at the house or they didn't want this, I could see it. And I'll say, I'm gonna stay in the car, y'all, because they don't want me over there. And then I would go in and then I would hear about them saying they didn't want me. I was like, oh God. So I was asleep. A familiar dream was coming to me, and I was sitting at an old country store in a rocking chair. Well, I saw my car going down into this. Like, it was like a big old lake hole without water. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Well, I'm asleep. And that same dream came back. But another dream that God was dealing with me about around the same time. So picture a river. Well, on one side of the river, this was like a river and a beach. and an ocean, all connected. So I'm going down the river. When I get to the end, it's a beach. This is the dream I had had years prior to him passing. Well, when he passed, now I'm on the other side. So I'm driving this little, you know, them little bitty cars. I'm driving the car, and I started drifting into the river that was trying to take me into the ocean, but I got traction on it. So when I got traction, it then warped me into me walking. You know them geckos, Geico, them little things. So I'm walking, I'm singing, "You are my strength, strength like no other reaches to me." I turn around. It's the man's mom. Then I turn back around. "In the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name." I turn around and I see it. Then I woke up. So then 2 days later before the funeral, I'm asleep. The Holy Spirit comes to me and the Holy Spirit says, "I did it for your protection. It would have killed you." And it showed me his face.
Wow.
Speaking in tongues and crying. And I didn't know what was to come. Maybe 4 days later, it was revealed on why certain things couldn't be so and why certain things happened. It started being revealed. And I said, "God, if I never knew you before, I really know you. You was there. You were in my dreams. You were there in visions. You were there the entire time." And sometimes God sends warning to us and we ignore it. When I tell you, it could be my life if I didn't take the warning. Okay. So people be like, "She be shouting, she's extra." I'm like, when people say, "You don't know what God has done for me," I'm telling you, that is my testimony. And when I tell you, even in that valley, even in that fire, God was there with me. He was there with me. He was that fourth man in that fire with me. And he did not leave me. He was there. And so I'm telling you, like, let me not get emotional.
No, I just think it's all fascinating. What I want to do is, because I know a couple of prophets that I think are legitimate prophets, and I think this is something, I think that prophets are really, you know, misunderstood.
Yes.
But I also think that, you know, people who deal in the prophetic, you know, I think that there needs to be a way to explain to people what the true role of the prophet is and explain to them to tell the difference between a true prophet and a jackleg.
Come on.
Because I just think that there's too many of these folks running around out here, and we're bringing more confusion to the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so I want to put together a panel.
Okay.
With me, you, and a couple of other people, real quick, like within the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
So that we can talk about this, because I think this is a very interesting subject. But now I do want to go back just a little bit, because ladies and gentlemen, she sung a couple of bars, and you heard the vocal dexterity, the vocal mobility, the vocal excellence of this young prophetess. You heard her sing it, and with no music. Y'all got to go get this song, "Never Alone." And this song stems out of so much. There's so much, you know, heavenly essence that's attached to this song. Not just the one experience,
absolutely,
but there's a multiplicity of experiences connected with this song, which is why we went down this route, you know, of how the song came about, what the song means. People calling me. I don't know why people calling me. My phone is supposed to be on silent. But there's so much attached to, you know, what God gave you to put in the song, which is why the song is so powerful and so anointed. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I really am proud of you. I mean, I could sit here and talk with you for the next 5 hours. because I know this is good stuff. And it's definitely stuff that I need to hear. It's confirmational stuff to let me know that I'm not as crazy as I think I am. But it's also, I say I don't like prophets. And it's not, that's saying it jokingly. I love prophets. I love everybody. I don't like jaglegs.
Yeah, neither do I. People get hurt that way, you know. People get hurt that way. People, you know, what I've told people, I said, churches are empty now. You know, churches are empty. And I preached a few months back, even at my concert, I reiterated, I said, churches are empty. This is supposed to be the place where the righteous can run in and be saved. The lost can run in and find God. And they're not coming in and finding it. And it's not anymore about how you're dressed or you're not accepted. It's been so many jackleg this and that, people misrepresenting Christ. They're more worried about being on award shows and being popular amongst the people than doing the true actual work of the Father. And we have focused more on, oh, this person's a fornicator, this person's a liar, this person. No, we got to get back to doing kingdom business, drawing people, preaching it. It's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to where they have a safe place to run in. And the body of Christ is not unifying. We are the strongest institution that's ever made, but you cannot tell. And God is going to forever reign. He's going to forever. When all of this is over, it's going to be God. It's going to be Jesus.
You know, as you were talking, and it was in my head. See, stay out my head. That's why I don't like prophets. The reason the church is suffering is because we have left the fundamental basics of salvation. We have left the fundamental basics. I'm not talking about all this cultish stuff where they tell you can't play checkers because you're trying to win and you're going to hell. You can't play Uno. I ain't talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the John the Baptist, repent. Repent. I'm talking about, you know, the Apostle Paul, repent, every last one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about repent.
Yes.
That's the basic fundamentals of Christianity. You repent, he forgives, you live a better life. But we've left the foundation of church, and we've started the hoogada boogada. That's what I call it. The hoogada woo, the mysticism and the hoogada boogada. That's, you know, and you know, I work with people, you know, routinely in various places. And whenever they start all this rhetoric, I say, man, that's hoogada boogada, man. That's, I don't want to hear no hoogada boogada. Cause you anyway, so I want to talk to you a little bit more after this interview because we got so much more to unpack.
Yes.
But any upcoming projects you're working on now?
So when the Holy Spirit had put it in me to do it, I got ahead of myself and I was like, oh, I'm gonna make an EP. The Holy Spirit said, I told you, singles. So we came out with Never Alone. So the next one, it will be, I haven't even titled it, but it's going to be another project. And it's basically, it's a scripture based, you know, about drinking from a well, and that's Jesus Christ, that never runs dry.
Man. You know,
we search for basic things that we think are basic, but it can only be found in Jesus. We wonder why we're feeling empty or feeling like something is missing. People are like, something is just missing. It's Jesus Christ. And they'll say, well, I go to church. I'm saved, but are you a believer? It's time for the believers to believe again. You don't even believe for your healing. I had got flu A. I started writing goodbye letters to the children. This was in February, okay? I laid in that bed and I'm like, oh, complaining. The Holy Spirit said, you didn't even consider me. You didn't even consider me. I said, oh God, I had to repent. Like, God, I'm sorry. But you're the healer. You're my healer. I sing about you, Jehovah Rapha, you know, my healer. And I didn't even go to you first. So God is working on me too, like making him the center. So when things happen, you know, you're the center of everything in me. That you remember that song, Jesus, you're the center of
my.
And I believe that he's my center, and it just kind of start. I'm telling you, he been dealing with me this year, and I'm like, it's the basic things that we forget. And I'm like, I should have went to you first for it. I called everybody else, told them I was sick, and then I couldn't talk. So then I couldn't call nobody until it was made to where I could only call on him.
Yeah, I think so. We gotta have another discussion.
Okay.
We're gonna have to have another discussion. As a matter of fact, I'm fixing to type my email in the chat right now. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, if you wanted to hear a really great song, a song that's going to minister to your spirit, a song that's going to, if you have chains and fetters and things that are weighing you down, this song is the song you need to hear. I guarantee you, you're not going to be sorry. It's on all digital platforms. Never Alone by the Psalmist, the prophetess, Debbie Shanae. So, any last words before we get out of here?
No, I'm trying to figure out how to get. Oh, there we go. Oh, well, I guess I do have a last word. The last word that I can share with y'all is whatever God puts in you to do, do it. You know, I believe if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land, the fat of the land, the best of the land. And the land is whatever, you know, everything God has for us, it's right here. It's right here in arm's reach. So if he's put preaching in you, starting, I'm a business owner. I own a salon. I've been a business owner for 12 years. If it's writing music, you know, releasing songs, singing, I tell people you do not have to be the best vocalist. If God called you and you're anointed and that oil is flowing, do it while it's flowing. Do it while it's flowing, because it's going to reach who God designs for it to reach. It may not reach everybody, but it's going to reach somebody if it's just one. So whatever it is for you to do, do it. I'm from Oklahoma City. They say nothing is in Oklahoma City. There ain't no singers there. If you're not from New York, California, Chicago, different places like that, then it ain't nothing being done. Wherever you're from, do whatever God calls you to do. He's going to elevate you. And when he elevates you there, be a good steward over that. Be a good steward. Be prompt. Be timely. Be professional. Have a good attitude. Make sure you're honorable. Make sure your character, it speaks for itself. Come with a friendly smile. You know, if drama hits you, hey, if two fools are arguing, if one fool comes at you, you start arguing with them, a stranger walk up, they're not going to know who the fool is. It's in all, wisdom is the principal thing. In all things, use wisdom and the knowledge of Christ. And if you want to know what the knowledge of Christ is, read his word. Go to Google. If you want to know something about healing and something about this and even about singing and psalmists and prophets and things, look it up in his word. And that's where the accurate information is going to come to make you more knowledgeable about our Savior. So whatever it is God put in you to do, do it. If they told you you couldn't do it, you may say, I'm too old. Y'all, I'm 42 years old. I don't look it, but I am 42 years old, and I had to step out. I had good friends. I think you may have had Pastor Nick Smith on the line, mm-hmm. My best friends. He pushed me out there. He said, hey, you doing it this year, and I'm going to bug you every day until you don't. I'm like,
yeah, that's original God Lover.
Yep, I'm on his album.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on God Lover. I'm on It Gets Better. I'm on it's another one we did. So yes, I sing with them. If you see them out, I'm on this cover. So whatever, and surround yourself with people that's going to build you. Put scripture out to you, not use scripture to hurt you, but put scripture out there to my bishop always say, whatever you're doing, have scripture to align with that, and you'll never go wrong. So whatever it is, do not be afraid. If people laughing at you, talking about you, don't think you're the best. If God said it, he's going to make way for that. He's going to make way for you to do it, because our goal is to fulfill what he has called us to do here in the earth to upbuild his kingdom. So that's my last say.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it yourself. Don't forget to go out on all digital platforms download this piece of music. I guarantee you, you're not going to be let down. You're not going to be sorrowful. Never Alone by Debbie Shanae. Listen, go out to your Play Store. It's free. I promise it's free. Download the Live365.com app in your Play Store and type in J. Will Gospel Radio. And you can listen to 24/7 gospel music. 7 days a week, we got some of the best independent and mainstream artists you'll ever hear. This song is already uploaded on my station, and it's in rotation, and you're going to hear it along with some more great artists. And don't forget to, if you're an artist and you have music that you just put out there, go ahead and shoot me an email at leewill@gmail.com. leewill@gmail.com. Send me a master MP3, a photo, and a short bio, and I'll get back with you as soon as possible, and maybe we can get do an interview with you. Follow my music page, James Williams Music, on Facebook. All right. Don't wait till you get sick to go to the doctor. Get yourself checked out. Get your A1C, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, and all that good stuff checked out, and get some life insurance, folks. We love y'all, but we tired of selling chicken dinners to try to pay for your funerals, having these GoFundMe stuff. Get some life insurance. If you don't know some people, I know some people that can help you out with a premium or a policy. And just do that, man. Don't leave your family strapped in case something happens to you. All right, until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord God give you peace.